The thing about, of course, taking a field is that it is working hard all the time. Because of its weight, it presses the ground down. So it's constantly pushing the ground down. So in effect, it's trying to go uphill all the time. Very different driving them on a field to driving them on the road. They were never, of course, intended to work on a field, but to say we've got one brave crew who are game to have a go. Right, we've got the Spitfire coming now, so whether you want to slip out of the ring or just take a pause and watch the proceedings. Have you got your mic, George? Right,
1-2.
We're just going to bring the car out here to the left of the commentary box. So, if you could just mind your toes as he makes his way out.
Spitfire Hurricane, Red Devils, Great
Aveling and Porter Roller coming around, a piston valve Aveling, single cylinder, probably about an 8-tonner, I would think. Avelings were easily the largest producers of rollers from Rochester in Kent. That was their major speciality, I suppose, really. They were the number one in steam rollers of the manufacturers. A lot of the manufacturers had their own particular speciality. Fowlers were known for their ploughing engines. Now we get to the interesting bit. We'll see how he gets on. Oh, spoke too soon. I think that's the end of the uphill run for Sammy Lou. Anyway,
we may need to pause just there, Andrew. I don't know, but I don't know about all the ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. I'm so excited. The Spitfire is going to be with us in just a couple of minutes. You remember the poor weather yesterday, and we weren't able to have the Spitfire. So it's wonderful that it's on its way. And it is going to be here. No other aircraft really is causing such excitement. Very, very few Spitfires are flying today. And this is a very, very special one. And George and I will tell you a little bit more about the Grace Spitfire when it's overhead. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm now pointing towards the Iron Henge and the big organ there. We'll see the Spitfire coming from this side at the top, beyond the Helter Skelter. Owned by Carolyn Grace, but piloted today by Dave Pulliston, who's a very highly qualified pilot, and he'll bring this beautiful aeroplane around to us right now.
Spitfires were produced in greater numbers than any other fighter aircraft in the world. 22,000 were produced in 22 different variants, and it's a great tragedy that R.J. Mitchell didn't have the pleasure of seeing it. But here with a classic victory roll, please welcome ML-407, the classic Grace Spitfire with David Pulliston.
This is absolutely beautiful, ladies and gentlemen, and we can hear that wonderful Merlin engine. We have to remember that in 1936, when the air speed record was being tackled by a number of aircraft companies, this aeroplane was extremely advanced and is the direct descendant of the winner of the Schneider Trophy. What a beautiful elliptical wing shape that we can see there. It's an absolutely iconic shape. And that, along with its very, very narrow fuselage and the amazing performance of the Merlin 12-cylinder engine, which developed 1,500 horsepower, this is what gave it immediate air superiority over any German fighter in World War II. It also had an extremely impressive climb rate and could easily operate at 43,000 feet, which is a greater altitude than ordinary airliners today. Now this, if I'm not mistaken, George, is a Mark 9 Spitfire, so the Spitfire was developed continuously throughout the war to maintain its advantage over German fighters, is that right?
Yeah, we call the Mark 9 the classic because it was really the ultimate fighting machine before it then went on to develop very specialist roles. Of course, the ultimate one going right up to the Mark 19 in the Federal Reconnaissance role is the one that eventually broke the altitude record and also had the fastest speed as well, with an engine that eventually, after the war, developed a horsepower of in excess of 2,000 horsepower. It's the most extraordinary story, the entire Spitfire story. The elliptical wing there that Roger mentioned about giving that extra speed, it's so thin that helps it with the speed, but of course it had to be fat enough to keep the undercarriage inside as well. And the other change that really improved during the course of the first few years was the power of the gunnery. Very early on it was just fitted with Browning 303 machine guns, but later on with the cannons it had superior firepower as well as speed and maneuverability over enemy aircraft.
Now, as Dave pulls another beautiful, gentle manoeuvre, you can see the beautiful lines. This is, in fact, a two-seat Spitfire, and if you've seen other two-seat Spitfires, they have a very large canopy for the passenger, the lucky passenger, to sit behind. This is a two-seat two-seat Spitfire, but the design engineer, Nick Grace, having always wanted to fly one, acquired ML-407 in 1979 and spent 5 years meticulously restoring her, and its two-seat configuration, known as the Grace Inline Canopy Conversion. That's what he created to maintain its beautiful lines today. It completed his project in 1985, and the Grace Spitfire flew again with Nick Scaglehand and the controllers and Carolyn in the rear cockpit. And this beautiful story can be seen in the acclaimed documentary, The Perfect Lady. There's a DVD available from Carolyn Grace's website so that you can purchase that.
Yes, continuing that theme, Roger, it's in the handling there, because Carolyn went on course to train her own son, Richard. And Richard, who depended his great miles on other aircraft, was eventually trusted in the family of Spitfire. It's a great story to bring this through, and certainly three individuals as part of the Enquest family, really superb. Richard Armstrong, because, of course, he never survived to see the amazing success of the Spitfire. He worked with a very, very talented team of engineers, designers,
allow the very best pilots to fly her treasured Spitfire.